Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
So we're doing Plan B today. You ever done Plan B in life? You have Plan A, and then you have to go to Plan B or C or D, right? We're going to go Plan B today. This week I was at ministers. They call it retreat. It's conference. Ministers from Nebraska, from the Assemblies of God, meet together. We have a guest speaker in. And so our speaker this year was Samuel Chand, and Chris even has a picture of him there. You'll notice that he's Indian. From the country of India, and he has spoken at our conference at least once before that I remember, probably 8 years ago, six years ago. So he spoke at one of our things. So he spoke to us about leadership. He spoke a lot about leadership. But Tuesday night, he shared a message called Thank You. And I thought I'm going to share a little bit of that with you as we, just as a thought, it's a very hands-on message, but just on the idea of what it means to be thankful and thanking people. We're going to be in Luke chapter, and we're going to come back. We're on that series, Power of Vision. We're going to come back to that next week, if that's all right, and pick it up there. But I want you to turn to Luke chapter 17 this morning. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. It says, "Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him." You know, leprosy is a skin condition. Left untreated, it begins just to basically erode your skin away, your skin, and then it gets down to nerves, muscles. You begin to lose your limbs. It is very treatable today, but back then it was hard to deal with. So these people were then distanced from the community. Many times they were in their own villages. People would say unclean as they came by. It was a terrible thing. There was 10 men who had leprosy, and they met him. And they stood at a distance because they didn't want to get close and met him. And he called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." So they had the decency to realize that they weren't going to come right close to Jesus. From a distance, they yelled out, "Jesus, you know, have mercy on us. See our condition. Help us out. Have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Isn't that amazing? He didn't lay hands on them. Sometimes he healed a leprous person by laying hands on them, which is pretty incredible, isn't it? When you minister to the sick, you have to sometimes just get in there right where they're at. But it says that he tells them to go to the priests because they were to, there was regulations, according to the Old Testament, that if you had leprosy, you were cleansed, you show yourself, make sure that you're clean, you're deemed clean. And as they were going to see the priest, it says that they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. How many? He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Isn't it interesting that... So Luke is the physician, right? He's writing this. He's the physician. He notes these things. And he makes note that, hey, this person was a Samaritan compared to being a Jew, right? So not only was he a leprous person that had been healed, but he was also a Samaritan. So he had a couple things that against him that people said, you know what, we're not going to associate with you. But Jesus reached out to him. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except for this foreigner? Isn't that interesting? And then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you whole. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that your word is quick, it is powerful, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray that you would take it and speak it to our lives this morning. In your name we ask, amen. You know, in this story, you have 10 people that are cleansed of leprosy. Basically, if they were left unhealed, if that's a word, if they were left unhealed, they were destitute to being an outcast of society and probably facing an early death and a very miserable life just dealing with their leprosy. And so, how many would say that being healed of leprosy is a pretty incredible miracle? Yeah. And you would think that they would just be overjoyed with thanksgiving, and yet only one returns to thank Jesus, and he is a foreigner. He's not of the Jewish population, and he is the only one that comes to thank Jesus. You know, this idea of just being thankful, our speaker shared, Samuel Chan shared on Tuesday night, just of thanks. He grew up in India, which if you know India, very much Hinduistic, other religions there, but Hinduism is very strong there. Christianity is making some inroads, but it still remains a very Hinduistic population. And so he grew up in India. His father was Hindu, okay, did not serve God. And one day, two women that had been saved, they were Christian ladies, they came to his dad's community. And they preached a message and offered him a bowl of rice. But he responded to the message that they preached. They preached Christ, and these two women preached Christ. He responded. He was the only convert that day. And they said afterwards they invited him to have a bowl of rice and to have a meal. And as he's having this bowl of rice with these two women, they said, you're going to be our pastor. Okay, he just got saved that day, okay? He just got saved. He didn't know anything about Christianity. He didn't know anything. And these two women says, you're going to be our pastor. And he goes, you know, I don't even know anything. They said, well, we told God that we were going to go into our community, and the first man that was going to get saved, he would be our pastor. And so he becomes their pastor. He pastored there 30, 40 years that he pastored there. And so Samuel then grows up in a Christian home, comes to know God, and grows up in a Christian home. And when he became graduated from high school and was preparing to go to college, he sensed God's calling upon his life to do ministry. And he found a Bible school in Atlanta, Georgia, called Beulah Heights Bible College, and that would take him. But he had to figure out a way he had to have a sponsor, okay? If you're coming from another country, many times you have a sponsor, somebody that's willing to maybe be good for your college bill, maybe help you out financially. And so he needed a sponsor. And the only person he could think of was a missionary couple that had been through there previously in their church. And he played the accordion, okay? As a teenager, he played an accordion in church. That's when accordions were popular in church. And so that's the only person in America that he thought, I can approach and ask to see if they'd be willing to be my sponsor. So he was able to write a letter, sent it off to them. About 6 weeks later, he gets a response back, just because that's the way mail traveled in those days. It took about 3 weeks to get from India to America. And he gets a response back and said, yes, we are willing to be your sponsor. And so he comes to Bible College in Atlanta, Georgia, with very little money, very little funds. And these people helped him out with his bills, and he began Bible College. But then a recession about that time, is in the 70s, early 70s, recession set in America, and the sponsors who had been missionaries and had employment here in the States, they lost their job. They've lost their income. And so they were not able to help out with his expenses. And so he began going door to door, see if people had odd jobs that he could do. That's how he got money to maybe buy a meal. And he just talked about a woman in church that would, whenever he was at church, she would place a $1 bill in his hand. It's called the Pentecostal handshake, right? She would put a $1 bill, and three times a week, she would put a $1 bill in his hand. He goes, you know, that might not seem like much, but back in those days, it would buy him a meal at McDonald's for a buck, and that's what he would live off of. And so he goes, and so it was this couple, this missionary couple that helped him. It was this lady that he goes, I don't know if she was always all there mentally, but every Sunday, every meeting that I was there, she would put a $1 bill in my hand, and it helped carry me through those years. And he would end up graduating. He'd end up graduating from college. He'd become a youth pastor. He was a youth pastor for several years, and then he took a senior pastorate in Michigan, a small rural community, probably a lot like Crete, about our size of church, pastored that for 8 years. And then he would then go back to the school, his alma mater, and he would be the president. At some point there, he'd become president. I think he was president there for maybe 15 to 20 years. Now he just travels and he speaks. And he's working with John Maxwell and other people. I mean, he gets to do a lot of international traveling, a very brilliant man. But he goes, you know what? God, he goes, life is good for me right now. But he goes, you know what? If it hadn't been for a bowl of rice and these women that reached out to my dad, if it hadn't been for this missionary couple that was willing to sponsor him, if it hadn't been for the lady that handed him a $1 bill three times a week so that he could live, and for the other people that gave him meals along the way. And he said there was even this couple in church that he liked. And he goes, you know, I realized if I showed up about 5 or 6 o'clock, I would get supper. And and so he would time it just perfectly that he would show up at these people for fellowship and he would get a meal. He worked odd jobs at the Bible college. And he goes, I just have a lot of people to be thankful for, because without them, I never would be at the place that I am. And he goes, you know, I thank God for where I am now, but he goes, I'd be foolish to think that I am here just because of who I am or what I've done. It was because of the people that had gone before me that invested in my life that made all this possible. He goes, I'm so thankful for those little things along the way that made my life possible. He goes, now I'm able to influence other pastors, other people, and he's doing what he believes God has called him to do. And so my question for you this morning, who has been instrumental in your life allowing you to be at the place that you are today? Who are the people that have invested their time or money, resources, energy into your life to bring you to the place that you are? I want you just to think about that a minute. Who are you thankful for in this place that is here today? How have they blessed your life? And I'm going to just close us in prayer. And Chris, I'm going to have you, just if you could bring up some music softly. I'm going to give you a moment to think, but we're going to close in prayer, and then I have something for you to do. All right? Father, this morning, we're just thankful for the people that have invested in our lives. And with, like Samuel Chan, you're using them at a very high level now. But if it hadn't been for people that were obedient to God along the way, two women that offered his dad a bowl of rice and shared Christ with him, a missionary couple that was willing to sponsor an Indian kid that they hardly knew so that he could follow the call of God upon his life. A young couple that invited him into his home and shared meals with him on a regular basis. A lady that maybe wasn't all quite there mentally but offered him $3 a week that helped him survive. Father, we just thank you for the people that have invested in our lives over our lifetime. And we give you the thanks and the praise this morning. In the the name of Jesus we ask. So, it's a little different service this morning. But what I want you to do in the last few minutes here is I want you to find three people that you can thank that they have done something in your life. It might be something small, but they have done something to invest in your life, whether it's been a smile, a handshake, or whatever the case may be. I want you to find three people to thank this morning. Okay? Is that good? All right. You're good to go. Find three people that you can thank this morning. All right. Feel free to move around.